Hey, you there. Yes, you. Have you ever wondered what it's like to be abducted by a pedophile? Well, good news. This movie allows you to experience that firsthand. Yeah, it's just a movie. Now get in the van. Naughty boy.
Hey, yo, what the fuck?
Yes, that is right. We are going to be reviewing the 2021 R-rated horror movie that is taking everyone by storm, just like their little children, The Black Phone. As you can see on IMDb, it has a rating of 7.0 out of 10, and its popularity is 17. It was higher when I started reviewing this, but heh, look, you know, sometimes things just don't go your way. But before we get into the actual movie review, why don't we just go ahead and, you know, shout out this wonderful cast of characters. We have Mason Thames, who's Finny, Madeline McGraw, who's Gwen, Ethan Hawke, who is the grabber slash pedophile, Jeremy Davies as Terrence, Dad of the Year, Roger Mitchell, Detective I Don't Know What I'm Doing, next to Troy Reducel is Detective Miller, who also has no clue what they're doing. And then everyone else just kind of goes down the cast a little bit. I mean, there's Miguel Cesara Mora, who plays Robin, who, sorry, Chief, but I don't think you're winning any Grammys for this performance.
Wait. Fuck with Finn again. I fuck with you. You can leave now.
Needless to say, I am now petrified, so I don't know about y'all, but I'm just, because I don't want to get up by, you know, the neighborhood scrawny little Hispanic kid. I'm a leave. Thank you, though. Tune in next week, and we'll discuss another movie. Hopefully it doesn't have a scrawny little kid that, you know, super intimidating. But enough with the cast, let's just go ahead and get right on into this movie and see how our main family is doing.
Hit me again and I'm dropping it!
You drop that and I will beat your ass. What is this all?
So our movie takes place in North Denver in 1978. And it starts off with everybody at a Little League game because that's all that there was to do in North Denver in 1978. We have our main character, Finny, who's attempting to be Clayton Kershaw before he grew the beard and moved to Los Angeles. But now, as you can see, he didn't do it. He's not clutch. Very sus. And anyways, Bruce is the main hero for the other team. And before the movie even starts, Bruce gets abducted. But now, before we go any further, I have something that I wish to bring into existence. Something that has been a part of the show for a long time, but for the first time and ever, we have the real death counter. Let's go, look at that. It's in real time. Look, it's real. It's a physical thing. Look, it says death count. Lan's got a one because Bruce died.
Oh my God! Oh, jeez! Oh my God!
But yeah, death counter, look at it. Look, it's real. It's not just in my imagination anymore. So now that Bruce has just completely gone missing, we're now treated to as to why Robin is intimidating. As he quickly 360 no-scopes the town bully. Let's go. And then he proceeds to immediately be kidnapped the very next day. Update the counter. And so now we begin to learn that the daughter has some sort of psychic ability that whenever she sleeps, her dreams show either some sort of premonition or ghosts or anything, which led to the wonderful family moment from earlier, because the detectives went to the house looking for her because she apparently has some sort of notoriety. And after Robin goes missing, of course Finny's gonna ask if his friend can come back, so he asks her sister, like, hey, is there any way you can see him in your dreams? I know Dad just beat you nearly half to hell, but I want to see my friend again. And then for about 10 to 20 minutes, a whole lot of nothing happens. I mean, Finny gets to sit next to this girl that he kind of likes, and so he's like, oh, my friend might be dead, but I get to sit next to a cute girl, I guess. Let's go. And then he gets beat up by the bullies that Robin was intimidating. And then the interesting stuff happens.
Well, isn't that just peachy keen?
You need some help?
You see that?
Yeah.
Would you hand me my hat? Yes, sir. I am a part-time magician. Would you like to see a magic trick?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Are those black balloons in there?
Yeah.
I get pranked, bro. The magic trick was he's gonna kidnap you and touch you in places you shouldn't be. Get pranked. Gone wrong. Gone sexual. So now Finny wakes up in this basement room. And the magician guy from now earlier has this really cool mask that looks like it's from the movie Sinister. And he's basically telling him, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm not gonna do you. You want a soda? I can give you a soda. And Finny notices there's a phone on the wall. He's like, I'm just gonna call somebody and get out of here. He's like, the phone doesn't work. There's no point in using it. I'm gonna go get you a soda. And so he goes and gets him a soda. And now, oh goody, the family is getting the call that Finny's been abducted, which leads to literally the dumbest camera shot I've ever seen in any movie ever. So for those of you listening on audio, the reason it's the worst shot ever is because she gets the call to find out that her brother has now been abducted and he's missing. And she runs out of her friend's house, and as she gets off the front steps, instead of having her continue to run, she's now running in place while the camera does this pan zoom effect to make it look like she's going further. But she's just standing there running, and you can tell she's not going anywhere because nothing's moving around her. It's so bad. I hate it. And so now we get to join the adventures of Finny and the pedophile, where he is now still in the basement, and Mr. Pedophile, the grabber, comes down and explains to him, yeah, room soundproofed, I'm just gonna hear you. Can't get you anything to eat. There's nobody gonna be on that phone. You're pretty much stuck down here. And he comes back down later and he's like, oh, I was just wanting to look at you. You know, just really, really raising the pedometer here. And so Finny's trying to figure out a way to get out of here. He's like, is there somebody up there? Is that why you can't bring me food? You can let me go? I won't tell anybody. But while Finny is now still down here suffering, some strange reason, the phone starts to ring. And he picks it up, even though he told him it wasn't working. Like, why are you picking up if it's not working? And he picks it up, and there's somebody on the other line.
Don't hang up.
Who is this?
I don't remember my name.
Why not?
It's the first thing you lose.
First thing you lose when? How do you know my name?
We met once. Your arm is mint. You almost had me.
Bruce.
So basically, Bruce is on the other side of the phone. It's a ghost phone. Ghost phone, everybody. Call the other side. Call Billy Mays. I don't know. I don't know how exactly it works. But Bruce basically tells him, he's like, there's a loose tile over there by the bathroom. Go under it, dig under it, dig out the other side. Completely ignore the fact that there should be a foundation somewhere, but he's telling him to dig under the house, go outside, and dig up through the outside of the house. So he does that for a little bit, basically gets tired, And of course, his sister's out on her bike looking for him, like that's really gonna help. And the next day comes around, and Mr. Pedophile comes down, and we get this wonderful interaction.
I made you some breakfast.
What did you put in that?
Salt and pepper. Oh, eat it, don't eat it. You're already down here. What do I need to drug you for?
Well, on his way out, he doesn't close the door all the way. So Finny's like, oh my god, here's my chance. I can get out of here. And as soon as he starts to open the door to leave, he gets a call on the ghost phone. He goes over the ghost phone and he answers it. He's like, hello? And he's like, it's a trap. Don't go up there.
Hello?
Don't go upstairs.
Why not?
It's a trap.
Are you?
So it turns out that this was another kid that he killed, added to the death counter. But basically, he tells him, don't go upstairs. He wants you to go upstairs. He wants you to be a bad kid. He wants you to be naughty boy so he could punish you. And that's his favorite part, is what comes after naughty boy, is being able to punish you. And he tells him all this, and so Finny starts to go up the stairs, but he decides not to, and it's a good thing, because it pans to the side and sees Mr. Grabber Pedophile, man without a shirt on. And he's holding a belt in his right hand, and he is built like a motherfucking Mack truck, I'm telling you.
Boy. Damn, boy, he's thick! Boy, that's a thick-ass boy! Damn!
So now that we've established the thickness of our main pedophile man over here, we now go on to the second escape attempt. Don't worry, there's not going to be an escape counter on here, but damn, wouldn't it be a bad idea for this movie. And so he gets a call on the phone, and they're like, hey, you see that wall over there? Yeah, it's one of the four walls that are in here. Like, there's a cable underneath it. You can use it. Get up to the window, maybe get your way out of here. But he can't get up to the window. He can't figure out how to do it, and he somehow feeds the cable up through this rolled up carpet for some reason. For some reason, there's rolled up carpet in the basement. And he manages to get it up there, and he gets all the way up to the window. And success. Hey, Finny, this is why you don't skip gym day at school, okay? All those times when you sat on the bleachers instead of going up the rope. Now look at you. This is what they're trying to teach you in school, so you can escape from the pedophile. But no. So yeah, escape plan doesn't work, so that's now two failed attempts. But he's making progress. At least he's not just sitting there like and just waiting for something to happen. And so now we kind of go back into the outside world, and we're rejoined with the detectives. And the detectives go and talk to this anonymous tipper, this guy who's like, I think I know what's going on. And they go to his house, and he's got this whole setup. He's got like the guy from Sunnier in Philadelphia, where it's like, though he's got the whole dartboard and the plans and the strings. He tells him, and he like actually seems like he's onto something, and they don't take him seriously. And it's because the motherfucker has cocaine on the table.
Boys didn't call.
And I want to tidy up before your brother gets home.
Stupid, stupid moron. God damn it, Max.
Then Mr. Pedophile Grabber comes back downstairs and he's like, I don't know, there's just something about, this is different. It's not the same, I don't know what's going on. And basically it's because, you know, he's not acting like the other kids. All the other kids are like, get me the fuck out of here, I don't want to be pedophile. But he's just sitting there, he's almost seems like he's chilling. But obviously that's not what it is. It's because all the kids keep telling him, hey, don't do this. This is how I got molested and killed. And he was like, this is how I got molested and killed. And so he knows not to do these things. So that's why he's confused. And he asks him, he's like, whoa, what's your name? I at least want to know your name. So he lies to him and he knows because he has the paper that says Finny is missing and all that. So he gets mad at him. And he goes back and he sits in the chair. But at this point, he's been staying up every night because he's been leaving the door cracked open for Finny to come upstairs so he can beat the holy hell out of him. And because of that, he is sitting there and he's starting to fall asleep. And that's when we get this wonderful gem. That's right, it's a floating dead boy. I know people who are listening on audio didn't see that, but it's a floating dead boy with his throat slit. Pretty creepy. Get about a 10 out of 10 on the creepy scale, but that's a number 4 on the death count, which is already updated. And so basically, now this kid tells him that for some reason, the front door is locked with his bicycle lock. And he wrote down the code because he didn't want to forget the code. But let's not ignore the fact that this grown man has a bicycle lock on his door. And his cocaine brother doesn't. I mean, that statement, cocaine brother, should just basically disqualify him from any sort of like important knowledge at all in this movie. But he's got a bicycle lock on his front door. And so anyways, Finny ends up finding out the code for it because he finds it on the wall because the kid somehow scratched it in there, and he decides to make this daring escape. But at the same time, the dog starts barking. After finally making it out the front door, this kid has like Alcatraz, straight up super genius escape plans here by running down the sidewalk in a straight line. So much so that the grabber just hops in his abracadabra abducting van and just drives in front of him, and the kid runs into the van. Like, what? Go run up to a house. Like, go where his car can't go. Figure something out. Like, this is negative 10 out of 10 escape plan. completely terrible. And so because of this failed escape plan, the grabber catches him, knocks him out, punches him in the face, and then he's back in the basement. So good job, Finny. Terrible escape plan. And They're really, really trying to make this sister seem like just the most hardcore person ever.
Jesus, what the fuck? I mean, what the fuck? I ask you for help when you give me these clues that don't mean anything. And now this morning I wake up without any dream at all.
So as you can tell, she's totally badass. Like, look, she said, what the fuck, Jesus? Damn, that's... damn, boy. But seriously, she's so badass apparently that now when Finny gets his next call, it's from Vance Harper. I think it's Vance Harper.
You're Vance Harper.
Who was like the school bully. Not even the school bully, the town bully. Like, he looks like he came straight out of the cover of a Twisted Sister album. but he seems absolutely terrifying. But he's coming through the phone, which means he's dead. So update the counter. Let's go, baby. Add an arm up. But now that he's getting the phone call, at the same time, his sister is having a dream where she's with him in the phone call while he's talking to Finny. It's really confusing. If you're on YouTube, you can see it. It makes more sense, but listening to me explain it is really difficult. But basically, all that this is really showing is that now the sister sees the house where Vance Harper, I've already forgot, damn it, where Vance Harper is, where he was pointing at, and that's gotta be where Finny is. So, since every dead kid has given, you know, has given Finny a little bit of a piece of the puzzle, Vance's part is he's going to just absolutely tell him to take the lid of the toilet seat, you know, that part where if you slightly knock it off, it shatters into a million pieces, to take that and just start digging through the wall like this thing is just an industrial sized jackhammer that's just gonna tear through it. You know, that's what I used to remodel my house the other day. I had a load-bearing wall that I wanted to get rid of, so I just, instead of going getting hammers or a sledgehammer or anything, I just grabbed the top of my toilet and just threw that shit out of it. Man, I cleared it out in less than 5 seconds. So after this plan clearly works, no it doesn't, he's now sitting in the meat locker. Can't push it over, it's bolted to the ground, it can't go anywhere. Goes back to the room and he gets one more call. And it's from Robin. He's basically telling him, you're gonna have to fight. Cue the montage.
You're gonna use a weapon.
What weapon?
The one in your hand.
The day is approaching to give it your best, and you've got to reach your prime. When you need to put yourself to the test and show us a passage of time, we're gonna need a montage.
Montage.
A sports training montage.
Montage.
You've got it. Now fill the phone with dirt like I told you.
Will I still be able to talk with you?
This was the last call, Finn. Saw you from here on out.
I miss you, Robin.
Then get out for me. Use what we gave you.
I will.
Bye, Finn.
Bye, Robin.
So now Finny, after the inspirational montage of pumped, let's kill some pedophiles. Whoa, yeah. After that motivating montage, he sets up the basement Home Alone style with the cable and the hole that he dug. He put some, like, he put the grate in there from the freezer. He's got it all set up. He's gonna fight back. He's gonna put the dirt and the phone. He's gonna fight back. There's only one problem.
I knew that he was hiding something from me down here, but holy Mary, Mother of God.
Please, help. Can you call my dad? Call my sister.
Oh, listen, don't worry. He's not here. He had to go into work. I'm Max, man. Stay calm. I wonder if he's freaking out this morning. Hey, you want to know the story about how I found you, man?
No.
Don't worry about it. We can talk about this.
Yeah, brother gets absolutely clapped. Now up to 6 in the total. We're getting there. So now that the pedophile grabber has completely lost it, he's killed his brother. Now he's got to kill this little kid. There's no going back now. So he axes the brother. But at the same time, the sister's getting the cops to come to the house, only to find out they're at the wrong fucking house. Way to go, sister. What the fuck are you doing? Do you not have any good, you know, what? Where's your super psychic power? The fuck, Jesus? Really? Did Jesus steer you wrong, or did you suck? But now, it's straight up final battle time with the Mr. Pedophile. And this is what happens if Home Alone had actual physics. So Finney's just going straight up Mike Tyson's punch out on his face with the phone here. They end up struggling for a little bit until the moment that we've all been waiting for.
It's for you.
Welcome to the nightmare end of your pathetic little life.
You don't have much time.
Today's the day, motherfucker.
I can't kill you, hijo de puta. So Finn is gonna do it for me.
Finn's arm is mint.
So now that's basically it. He kills the pedophile. That's right. Finny 1, pedophile 0. So yeah, the grabber's dead. That's probably gonna scar Finny for the rest of his life. But he killed the pedophile. Oh, and you know that house that the daughter sent them to, the sister sent them to? It was the house across the street. Somewhat has some significance though, because all the dead bodies were in there. And so at the end, basically, Finny comes out of the actual house, and they all see him. They all go in there, find the two dead people, and Finny's saved. And like I said, that's pretty much the end of it. So now, after that long, meme-filled review, let's get into the beans and potatoes here, the part that you all tuned in for, the rating. So I'm just going to go straight through these. I don't have a whole lot to add to it, but I'm gonna try not to get too psychological into this. So the plot, I went ahead and gave it a 3. I feel like they did an excellent job of kind of putting you in that headspace of what would it be like if you were abducted by a pedophile. Now this isn't exactly the same thing, because he does have a ghost phone, and it kind of ties into it a little bit, how the pedophile guy also hears the phone, and not just at the end, but there's mentions to it before where he used to hear it when he was younger. So yeah, the story of the pedophile, like, his character is based off of John Wayne Gacy, so yes, he is supposed to be like a kid toucher and a pedophile, but at the same time it seems like he's abducting kids to have them experience the same thing that he did, because he heard the phone but all the other kids didn't, and he did. And that's what he was referring to, as this is different. And he kind of thought something was up, and he didn't know what to do with the kid at first, but then he lied, which kind of set the whole thing in motion. So I thought it did a really good job with that. The acting, I gave it a 2. Ethan Hawke and Mason Thames, I don't know how to say his last name yet, they did really good. I really enjoyed their performances. And I didn't really like the sister, mainly because of the fact that it seems like they were trying too hard to make her seem like edgy and stuff like that, which is the only thing that really brought this down. Which, it's not necessarily the acting, but it was the way that the character acted. It just kind of ruined it a little bit. The cinematography, I gave it 2 also. It gets a little dark at a couple times, so it's a little hard to see, but the camera work is really nice throughout the movie. It does a really good job of setting the scene, kind of keeping you feel claustrophobic inside of this small area. So I went ahead and gave it a 2 for the cinematography. And for the bonus point, it gets the full bonus point. mainly because it does kind of throw in that paranormal aspect to it, and the fact that it's basically Home Alone but with a pedophile. I don't know, I thought that was funny. So for those of you who don't want to do the math, I'll go ahead and do it for you. 3 + 2 + 2 + 1. Yeah, that's right, it gets an 8 out of 10 for me, which is higher than the IMDb rating of 7 out of 10. It's not at the perfect level. This is a really good movie. I highly suggest you go and watch this movie. I really enjoyed it, and I know that you probably will too if you like spooky movies. I watched this with my girlfriend, and she really enjoyed it as well. But I highly suggest going and watching it. Ethan Hawke does a great job of being a pedophile. It's kind of a weird thing to say, but you did really good, Ethan Hawke. I'm sure you're going to be going on a list somewhere. And Mason did a great job. Robin, I forgot about Robin. Dear God, why did I remember Robin? Yeah, his acting was pretty bad. That justifies the 2. But all in all, please go watch this movie. I really enjoyed it. I really liked it a lot. I highly recommend, if you want a horror movie to go watch and you're wondering what it's like to be abducted by a pedophile, please go check this out. We ended with a death counter of 7. So let's go. This is a pretty decent death count, and just 1 point higher on the rating than the death count. So I think it's great. Once again, I'd like to say thank you to Anchor for sponsoring this video / podcast. I know they're not a sponsor of the video, they're a sponsor of the podcast, but if there's anybody who'd like to be a sponsor of the video, inboxes are open. But once again, thank you everyone to just tuning in. This is my first actual YouTube video on the channel. This is a lot more of a production value than the podcast does. The podcast, I just sit here and talk to a microphone, but on this one, I've got all this memes. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it makes it a little bit more interesting to watch. And I'll try to get these out more consistent, but like I said, this is difficult, especially when I work 80 hours a week. But thank you everyone for tuning in. And remember, if you ever get abducted by a pedophile and your sister can sleep and see ghost stories, always remember, Home Alone that bitch. Thanks everyone. Have a good one.